Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Telecom 2009 second quarter financial and operational results conference call. I would like to introduce the CEO of Telecom, Dr. Paul Dohrmann, together with Telecom senior group management. Please begin your meeting, and I'll be standing by.
Thank you very much. I'd like to welcome you all to this call, and thank you for joining this call. I'm here basically with the full TT management, as we always have. Today also, I'm very happy to have with us the new CEO of Avaya, Mr. Erkan Akdemir, who will present the mobile section. I'd like to go to page four, which is the ownership structure. Frankly, not much new to report on that sheet. The free float is where it's at. On six, we have included here the Ooredoo Telecom ownership structure, as we have been receiving some various questions about this, and this provides the ownership structure as it currently stands, and there is no foreseen changes in this, with a control resting with Saudi Ooredoo Limited and Saudi Telecom Company retaining 35% of a direct share in the company and the underlying subsidiaries. The group structure of the TT Group on page six, again, nothing new to report in this one. We have seen some increased activity by the CBIC USA company and an increased activity by Argela in India, likely to start up a joint venture there, but these are not material to this discussion. On sheet seven is the overview that we always show, showing an integrated fixed mobile and data operator, and obviously, we are seeking to retain stability in fixed as we grow our ADSL and our mobile businesses. I'll go now to page nine. You've all seen these consolidated results. So the revenue is up 3.5%, and the operating profit is down 5.8%. The EBITDA margin is down from 44% to 42%, an amount roughly about 2,137. This is in line with our expectations in relation to the current market, both on the economic environment and the mobile price competition, and we've met our consolidated EBITDA within the low 40s as we set out to do, but obviously, we're feeling the pressure due to our increased investments in mobile. On the regulatory environment on page 10, fixed number portability is postponed to September 2009. The numbering plan has been finally approved by the regulator. This also includes a new set of numbers that can allow nomadic services. I'll get to that in another slide. In relation to local competition, that started weekly, in a week way, I mean, around May. We will expect a little bit more happening in the second half, but frankly, the mobile price war is making the value of all of these services very difficult for call-by-call competition, and given the fact that our bundles are actually very compelling, it makes it very difficult, frankly, for both fixed and alternative operators to basically survive on a call-by-call competition model. In relation to naked ADSL, we have, of course, challenged the competition authority decision on naked ADSL, as we are already working on that, but we didn't feel it was appropriate for them to make that decision. And as we had indicated earlier, we believe that the economy package, the Hesabla package, coupled with ADSL, is basically naked ADSL because the Hesabla package is below our cost of access by about 25% to 30%. So that's as naked as it's going to get, we believe. MVNO regulations, of course, are now coming, and that's it's actually quite helpful, frankly, as we have signed up the three football clubs, and we're signing up the fourth, and we very much believe that this is a good opportunity for us, in particular when the price competition will begin to calm down. We believe that the value of these MVNOs will begin to rise, especially with the new football season. After the disasters of Qatar Airways and Fenerbahce, we hope that there will be some interesting movements there. WAMAX licenses are expected in the second half. We don't really have much information about this. It looks like that this is going to be mobile WAMAX, meaning the 2.5 gigahertz band, which actually would be favorable to the cost of network as opposed to mobility in itself. But again, we are investing in 3G, so WAMAX is not a strategic venture for us, but it may be helpful in some of the underlying areas where under the use of the Universal Service Fund, is the expectation of offering WAMAX services there. So we will be reporting to you what's happening in that regard in due course. In relation to MTR cuts, these are effective from May the 1st, and we also see ongoing issues with TUCSA's compliance with on-net pricing based on the regulator's determinations on that matter. On page 12, we outline some of our convergence initiatives. Next month, we are launching the Y-Phone service. Actually, the name of the service will be something different, but Y-Phone is the way we are referring to it now. And that basically allows the use of a mobile phone by simply sending an SMS to a fixed line number, which then comes back with basically an SMS code suited to the phone and a configuration setting that enables making fixed line calls and mobile calls while in Wi-Fi service in an almost seamless manner. And all these calls will basically go onto the fixed line bill. We have launched, of course, the Wiro service, which is the second item on this sheet. And with iPass now, we have 100,000 hotspots worldwide in 160 countries. So virtually the Wi-Fi service is the parallel of this service for domestic use. We also have progressed with Microsoft, and we have now a joint portal that will be launched in the second half. As you know, the use of Messenger here in Turkey is very, very heavy, with 28 million distinct monthly users. And what we are trying to do with this is put in things like music, video portal, maybe some games in the future. And very importantly for us also, we're putting our Argela voice dialer. I mean, it's the first time Microsoft actually have incorporated somebody else's product into this portal. I think it's very exciting for us because Microsoft is very, very strong in Turkey. So we see some interesting dynamics for us in the younger age group. In relation to IP-based calls, due to this new numbering scheme that's approved by the regulator under a new code, I think it's 0850, a series in that range, we have applied for a number range in there, and that actually would be quite helpful for providing for services of this kind, such as Y-phone service with a number, that is. Video phones, finally, after a very long wait from the regulator, it is now allowed to call fixed line from video phone, believe it or not, after 1 year. Of course, with 3G coming to the market now, we already have the feature of video phone making and receiving voice calls to 3G using our gateways that are designed by our subsidiary company, Argela. And that allows basically video calls going all the way through from a video phone to a 3G phone to a Wi-Fi phone to a computer and ultimately on IPTV, which will be launched in a couple of months, onto the TV itself as well. In relation to IP contracts and also other corporate data type services, we have actually begun some interesting initiatives with good results and signing up some large customers. And we are now beginning to focus more on the health sector and also on the security sector, where we have won a large number of interesting contracts, and we foresee some great developments in that in these two sectors. On 13, we show some of the initiatives on PSTN. Our bundle packages have now reached 10% of our customer base, which is really a very good result for us, and that basically speaks to stabilization of our voice revenues going forward with these bundles and having a higher share of revenue coming basically from a fixed fee plus a bundle price. We are going to now launch GSM and international bundles and cheap prices that the regulator is currently reviewing. And we have had finally some good progress with the regulator in speeding up the process of approving our tariffs, as this has been one of the most painful parts of being a fixed operator, in that everything is subject to approval. Prior approval, that is, and we will be hopefully seeing some improvement in this area that will give us some more flexibility in relation to campaigns and also in relation to new channels. We have, of course, some interesting retention and acquisition initiatives, and these will be intensified in the coming months, especially with these new offerings where people can use their mobile to make fixed line calls, and we see that as a very important service, because that is a very convenient service to mobile handset holders in the areas of home, office or hotspot, which frankly is a very large part of their consumption. On 14, we are showing our ADSL initiative. Now, we have launched the 8 meg speed, and in fact, in a period of under 8 weeks or so, we have signed up now 400,000, in excess of 400,000 customers So our upselling program is working extremely well. These customers, of course, are signing up to a contract, and within that, we will be able to offer them additional things. On the last bullet, you will notice this idea that we maybe have mentioned earlier, perhaps not in using these words, which basically try three of our main services, and then you can keep one post-September. We are using this as an initiative since the tax cut was done to be able to again upsell and get more from our existing customers by giving them more services, and they obviously encouraging them not to save that two and a half lira, but rather keep it and actually use it by getting some more from the company. That's of course a seed or service, and of course our Wi-Fi hotspots have now exceeded 4,300, and we will see some further improvements in that. We have, of course, also launched our mobile data offer. In fact, Avea is wholesaling this to TTNet and all the ISPs who are interested in selling this. And the idea here is that data is around ADSL, and we would like the mobile data to be a complementary service, and that's why we're pushing in this direction, and we feel we will be able to report some interesting results in the coming months as we launch the end of this month. We have also launched some interesting games and a game on demand service on TTNet, and we will be launching two very important games by our Sobe subsidiary again in the next 2 to 3 months, which already have a potential user base of 400,000 currently on beta version and on a subscription service with MyNet. So we will see some interesting developments in the game area as well. On 15, fixed line competition, well, clearly the main issue for us has always been and remains that to grow ADSL, we would like to see that growth coming from the alternative operators. And at this time, the Koçnet Biri seems to be the most active one. Smile, the one Smile, seems to be selling some of its shares to a third party. So that basically has slowed down quite a bit. And Telkom have rebranded their service Super Online after, of course, a lengthy period, and they are, of course, using their fiber and bundling in some local minutes, but still with very small market share, and Surfset in the same way are now trying to get into this market. But the way we look at it at the moment, it seems Biri will be the strongest, and we really are looking for that strong number two to grow the market, as we would rather that they begin to take market share from the next new additions coming into the market, particularly with the full year coming. On 16, looking into the fixed line revenue and margin highlights, that's 1.5% up, and the EBITDA is 6.4% up, so our margin hits 50% for the full half. On the next C17 are some further highlights on the number of access lines. Again, the gradual decline obviously continuing, and that is intensifying now with the economic recession, people finding any way they can to save money. And obviously we see pressure on our ARPU coming again from fixed mobile substitution with very, very aggressive mobile prices with cheap call charges to fix. Now in a way, this is actually quite good for us in the market because people are actually calling fixed lines, and that will generate calls in return. And when we begin to launch our mobile handset usage over fixed line, we hope we will be able to recover some of our lost traffic on the fixed line side as well. ADSL highlights on 18 again shows flat ADSL connections, and that basically is because we are not pushing our subsidiary to grow its customer base, because we would rather have the competition grow that base. What we want is to get more out of our existing customers, since we have a lot more to offer them. And that's how we see the market going forward. The ADSL ARPU growth of 6% to 28.5% for the full half, which fundamentally is coming from TTNF's contribution of upselling. On 19, the fixed business headcount is flat, and our efficiency, operational efficiency now is standing at about 571 or so lines per employee, which is a healthy number. And our personnel cost as share of revenue has, of course, come down to 22%. We will be reporting hopefully some further improvements in this in our third quarter results, and we're explaining our strategy in relation to this particular matter. I will hand over to Erkan now on mobile. Thank you very much.
Hi everybody, this is Erkan Akdemir, CFO Avea. On page 21st, We are now ready to launch 3G by end of this month. In addition to the standalone mobile data offers, we have introduced our wholesale mobile internet offer, which is available to all ISP as a complementary service. This is in line with the Türk Telekom Group total internet concept, meaning TT covers US home, office, and Wi-Fi spot with high quality fixed broadband and the 3G mobile internet via AVEA. AVEA focuses on its push for the unlimited all directional postpaid and flat prepaid offers in Q2. We are happy that the situation regarding available ports from the Turkcell finally resolved. On the other hand, limitation on the port numbers has slowed the growth of the customer base in the second quarter. Establishment of the AVEA Technopark is another important step for enhancing the innovative culture at AVEA. I believe the consumers will benefit a lot from the AVEA Technopark, which is developing application and services around 3G. We also expect to improve the AVEA brand value through innovative services. The next page, you can see the revenue and EBITDA figures. And comparing it to Q1 and year over year. The accelerated growth strategy at AVEA worked well and resulted in a 17% revenue growth compared to the previous quarter and also the same quarter of the year 2008. Clearly, we got a short-term hit at the EBITDA level due to the cost of the investment in the accelerated growth of the revenues. We believe we will also see improvement of the profitability starting from H2 and at increasing pace following the measures we plan to implement around the flat offers. By the year end, we estimate the benefits of our growth strategy will be evident, and also we expect the market will be rationalized. Page 23, you can see the our revenue trend as well as the Vodafone revenue actuals. Despite the minimal growth expectation in total mobile market, AVEA's revenue reached 625 million TL in the second quarter. Page 24. With the huge take-up of the unlimited all-directional offer, blended ARPU is now at its highest level since Q1 2008, reaching to 16.5 TL in a shrinking market, and despite decreasing the mobile termination rates. Although prepaid ARPU improved by approximately 8% compared to Q1 to 8.4 Turkish lira, it is still behind the Q2 8 levels, mainly due to the combined effect of the price competition around MNP and also the microeconomic conditions. The other slide is 25. We see penetration level is decreasing in the market as a result of the consolidation of the multiple SIM cards, and AVEA is not immune to this either. We managed to keep our postpaid base strong, though we lost 200,000 subscribers at prepaid segment in Q2. Blended MOU increased by 30% versus previous quarters. This is not the unusual given the expanding unlimited offer customer base. And the last page for the quality indicators. AVEA kept investing in its network and number of base stations increased to just above the 11,000. Despite the increased MOU, we keep serving our subscribers at high quality standards with low call drop and the call block rate. Now, back to the financials.
Okay, thanks very much, Erkan. If we go straight to page 28, which is consolidated P&L, I'll just run through the financials, give you two or three points on each page. Clearly, as Paul has said earlier, revenue overall is at 3.5% growth, although it's 5% Q2 over Q1, which is a reasonable position to be in at the moment. In terms of EBITDA margin, it's stable, as you can see, 42%. It was 43% in Q1, dropping slightly to 41% in Q2. We've heard about the mobile margin dropping off a little bit in Q2. The other thing to mention here is around financial income expense. I mean, although it's become a positive this quarter, I don't think it's become as positive as a lot of people would have expected, because there's been a big hedging cost in the quarter. We have read in our financial statements about 109 million loss in the quarter because of interest rate swap. Just to quickly mention what that is about, that's about the $1.6 billion loan we have in Avaya, where because we're now prepaying on 30th of September, $670 million of that, we have to unwind a hedge. Now, the hedge, the interest rate hedge we have, is on the LIBOR. So we fixed the LIBOR in the good old days when it was a bit higher than today. And when we unwind it, what it's going to mean is we take a loss. There's obviously no financial company will take it back at those rates. And so what we've got in here is 109 million loss for that. What we expect is when we actually do the proper unwinding in Q3, the loss will be a lot lower. But at the moment, this is a mark-to-market number. So we expect to get some of that back in our Q3 account. If we move to the balance sheet, I think key thing to notice here is interest. The bank loan is the higher, and that's meant for the dividends. As you know, we paid 1.5 billion dividends at the end of Q2, so that pushed the total interest-bearing liabilities up from 3.2 billion end of Q1 to 4.5 billion end of June. Obviously, you've read, we're looking at loan repayments on Avaya. We finalised the discussion with the bank end of June. This is good news for us in terms of it now frees up our mobile operation now to do exactly what they need to do, become a number, solid number two in the market. And of course, what we'll do in Q3, Q4 is move in more long-term debt at the QT level, although we're nothing yet to declare, but we're working with various banks at the moment. And we should have some ETA loans in place at the QT level very soon. In terms of cash flow in Q2 on page 30 is very similar to Q1. Operating activity is more or less the same as last year. Q1 we generated about 650 million, Q2 about 620 million. So we're keeping a very strong cash generation business. CapEx clearly was up in Q2 because of the 3G license, which was around 450 million in that era. So look at the fixed line. Again, as Paul has said earlier, revenue's up 1.5% or 3% Q2 to Q1. In terms of EBITDA year on year, about 120 million improvement, of which about 60 million is that, so half of it is because of OPEX going down, and the other is because of revenue going up. So, as we said in our press release, it's around OPEX management on the fixed line side, and continue to keep the good EBITDA margin. It was 49% in Q2. Although 50% for the first half. If we now move on to the revenue breakdown, I think the two key things here is, again, Paul mentioned earlier on ADSL. ADSL year on year is 29%, so in fact Q2 of Q1 is 6% growth, and yet in Q2 there's no real growth in ADSL subscribers, and this is generated by the ARPU growth. We set our strategy, which is more to focus on ARPU than subscriber number growth. And it's worked out quite well because of the subscriber growth has vanished in Q2. We can still generate some revenue growth by upselling. In terms of fixed voice, I suppose the point here is although it's 8% down year on year, if you look at Q2 to Q1, it's more or less flat. It's 1% down Q2 compared to Q1. So the issue is that compared to last year, where it was a lot higher, we've lost it. The traffic's down, but what we're doing is we're moving a lot more into the bundle, which is what we said we would do as a strategy, and we've now got over 10% of our customer base in bundles, and what we need to do is keep moving that. Currently, over 40% of our PSTN revenue is now fixed, so it's not variable. There's traffic drops, or if traffic was to drop, it wouldn't be negatively impacted. Obviously, what we want to happen is for traffic to increase, for the MOU to increase, which was one of the reasons we've got the bundles to try and encourage more usage by customers. If you look at OPEX, on the OPEX side, I said earlier that year-on-year, half, 60 million to 120 million growth in EBITDA, which got the OPEX dropping. And this is, as you know, a good performance when you consider almost half of our expenses, personnel, and personnel costs keep going up with wage inflation. What you'll see is the personnel costs, in fact, is 7% down year-on-year, so 64 million. And that's driven by the actions we took at the end of last year, where we took out a net 7,000 people on the network operating unit, and we've shared the cost of the savings would flow through this year, and we're seeing those coming through just like we did in Q1. Overall, OPEX is down 3% year on year, which again supports the point about controlling. Yes, the interconnect came down because of regulator rules, but the rest is because of driving cost controls internally. In terms of the other, that mainly is two factors. One, the utility expenses, because the utility prices have gone up almost 50% year on year. And the other thing is, in first half this year, we took a hit of about 75 million lira relating to labour court cases to do with people who were let go last year. If we move now on to mobile, on page 34, or slide 34, as has been said earlier, revenue quarter on quarter has grown 17%. And that's against a market where we think it's fairly flat overall. So as you will recall, in Q1, Adair and Vodafone have more or less the same revenue. We expect that when Vodafone show their results for Q2, or their Q1, that they won't be seeing as good growth as this. They may be seeing some growth, but not this. And once we do that, then we will be the official number two in the market. In terms of EBITDA margin, 5% for first half, what that means is 7% in Q1, it's dropped a further 4% to just 3% in Q2. As we said in our press release, this was more of an investment in mobile growth than we were expecting. The costs were slightly ahead of where we were expecting, but we do generally believe it's a good investment to make because it's going to be very valuable for us in the future to be a strong number two, especially when the price is rationalising the market. If we look at the OPEX, yet again, like we had in Q1, the key growth in OPEX is around interconnection, and this is mainly linked to the unlimited offer. So this is linked to where all the revenue growth is, and the other major cost increase is around taxes. Again, there, if you recall, the law in Turkey, the mobile operators, we have a treasury share fee, which is basically another tax, which is 15% of revenue. So as your revenue increases, your tax also goes up. So that's a very rapid run through the financials. I'm sure there's going to be quite a lot of Q&A. So I'll hand back now to the operators to start to take the questions.
Moderator, we can now take the questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question at this point, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. Once again, that's star followed by the number one to register for a question, and the hash or pound key to cancel. There'll be a short silence whilst the questions are being registered. Our first question comes from the line of Hervé Drouet. Please go ahead, announcing your company name and location.
Yes, good afternoon. This is Hervé Drouet from HSBC London. My first question is regarding your mobile strategy in terms of maintaining, you know, relatively aggressive marketing and gaining market share. How long do you expect that to be the case? And what for you will be a relatively comfortable market share difference with the third one for you to change that strategy would be my first question. And the second one, can you explain a little bit more about the reason why you think in the current environment it's better to push for ADSL growth more through competitors rather than through your own subsidiary in terms of number of ADSL lines? Thank you.
Thank you for that. I'll take the ADSL question first, touch on mobile, and then hand on. On the ADSL, our market share now, as you know, is over 90%. And we really would like to see that market share coming down to 80%. But that needs somebody to begin to take a healthy share of new acquisitions. if we actually further entrench our position going forward, we believe that it's not in the interest of the market or the customer in the end. But of course, you know, we can't sit back forever, because we will need to show some growth at some time. So we set out to get higher value from our existing customers, in particular due to the tax reduction, because when people were paying 29 lira and the tax coming down, they can save, you know, like 2.5 lira or so. It makes sense for most of these people to continue to pay that extra money they were paying it before and get something extra for it. So we're using speed, music, video portals, you know, parental controls. So the companies, we have various offers we can give them, Wi-Fi hotspots and so on. The 8 meg speed was the biggest stimulator of this, hitting now over 400,000. With the other services, I believe we have hit something just below 200,000 or something in that range. So that means that our upselling program has benefited over 600,000 customers. And what we would also like to do is, with these customers, offer them more things with the mobile data. Now, that is a better strategy for us in terms of where we are. The cost of acquisition will then be incurred by the new operators, because frankly, they should go and get those new customers, and I hope that this will happen with the beginning of the school year. So that's the rationale behind what we're doing. I think financially, that of course proves to be the better thing for us to do. On the mobile side, very generally speaking, we have now a window of opportunity to make Avaya a strong number two in the market. And this window comes from the number portability on the one hand and Vodafone's weaknesses on the other. So if we don't exploit this now, we're not going to get a second chance to become a strong number two. And, you know, Turkcell is not frankly the target. What happened in the market is that the prepaid price competition became so irrational, and this is where Vodafone lost all of their revenues, that if we were to copy that, we would also end up in the same bad situation. What we want and what we had to do was a disruption that would result in Avaya becoming an operator that makes calls, of course, pays a lot of money to Turkcell to generate those calls, because we are a solid number two operator where people are using their SIM to call Turkcell customers because they have the largest market share. So why should they have a second SIM, which in the end is basically a SIM which is just roaming around with acquisition incentives? And of course, in return, we will also receive a lot of calls from Turkcell, and in that terms, we believe we will be better off. Now, how long this will last? We think that we have taken, let's say, the most aggressive step that was needed to make SIMs primary SIMs. And from now on, we will see more rationalization. For example, Turkcell launched their institutional offer at 35 lira, and they offer these customers 1,200 minutes in any direction. Now, these customers that we have lost from Avaya are customers that we only get below 20 lira money out of them, and they tend to make 300-400 minutes on that on Avaya. As they switch to Turkcell and dump their second Turkcell SIM, we are actually receiving more money actually from Turkcell for receiving calls from those customers. So in the end, we were actually better off, and I think Turkcell also, in the end, saw the value of having a single SIM, because they were marketing to the customers, don't use two SIMs, use only one SIM, but use a Turkcell SIM. Excellent. Some will use Turkcell, some will use Avaya, we will call each other and we will pay each other. And that's a healthy market to be in. Now, to get to that, we are going to have to bleed a little bit, and we have bled to the level that we are in now. We can afford it, and if we don't do it now, when are we going to do it? So this is where we are now. Going forward, we get two scenarios. We think that Turkcell will become rational, and so, of course, are we. You have seen that we are a rational player from the very beginning. When Turkcell launched their home zone offer before our listing, we didn't react to anything of that kind. So what we will see now is rational behavior. It's important for Turkcell to be rational and therefore rebalance their tariffs, which means increasing their on-net and lowering their off-net tariffs. This way they will reduce their legal regulatory risks, which frankly are unnecessary risks. I mean, they may be able to win in the end in these legal fights with the regulator, but these are fights that are unnecessary to win, actually. People should play along with them and lose some customers but make more money. To the extent that they are not, and they continue with the practice of lowering on-net, what the regulator has basically said in relation to their tariffs is that the MTRs will come down again. And this is not what we would like. We would like the MTRs to more or less stabilize at a price which is reasonably above cost. We know it won't come down to exactly cost, but it's got to come down to something reasonably close to cost. So this is where we are. These are the two ends of the equation, and we are hopeful for the reasonable stand, but we are ready for the unreasonable if that's what's going to happen. David will take...
Yeah, and in terms of your last question, which is around market share differential between ourselves and Vodafone, I think we've said quite consistently now for the last few months that we see a 15 to 20% gap as being sufficient to take us away from Vodafone in that competitive environment. But clearly, if we can go higher than that, even better. So that's what we're looking at.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Thomas Chadwick. Please go ahead, announcing your company name and location.
Tom Chadwick, Bank of America Securities, Merrill Lynch in London. One question with one quick follow-up. You said in the press release that you're now thinking that your current guidance of 8 to 10% revenue growth and is challenged. Does that mean you're revising your guidance to a lower level? And you know, if so, what is that level? And do you think that you need to kind of revisit your EBITDA guidance of low 40s? And the follow-up question is, I mean, are you now looking at you know, aggressively kind of raising your own prices to embark on avoiding the losses on the mobile business?
Okay, Tom, that's three questions.
Okay.
So, that's all right. It's not California, you're not out. In terms of the press release, you're right. What we said there was if you remember, we started off with 8% guidance, and then the last press release we called it target, and now we're saying it's a more challenging target. Clearly, we think it's getting tough. It's not so much on the mobile side. The mobile, in terms of top-line growth, is going as well as we expected. And the problem is becoming more on the fixed line, with the price battle in mobile is hurting our PSTN revenue in terms of traffic. And the recession is certainly hurting us in terms of ADSL subscriber growth, which is holding us back. And, of course, the other ISPs not growing, not being aggressive, not being imaginative, is stopping our wholesale revenue coming through. So with all those, yes, I'd say we're thinking it's becoming challenging. We're not throwing it away. We always said it was a target. We're running the business on that targeting. But we're just advising that we think it is becoming maybe a challenge too far for this year. But we'll see. But anything can happen in the second half. The recession could end. ADSL subscriptions could suddenly take off. And we could be back onto the 8 to 10% range again.
Uh-huh.
In terms of EBITDA low 40s, you're right, that's what we said. We've seen in the first half that the fixed line is showing good profitability, but there's no doubt that in Q2 the cost of investing in the mobile growth, which is getting us close to the 8% to 10% revenue guidance, is costing us quite a lot. And it could well mean that we're struggling on that, but we're still aiming for the low 40s, but it's going to depend on how quickly the mobile market can rationalise its pricing. And in fact, coming to that, your follow-up question is around our position in increasing prices. Our position is that we've got to get the value proposition right. We've got to get the value that customers are extracting from our products, the fair value to what we're getting from the customers for that service. We don't think all our products have got that value proposition right, and we do need to relook at certain offers and start rebalancing. And in fact, I know Ercan has been looking over the last month, and Ercan only started, as you know, on 23rd of June, so we've got a few weeks in looking around with the Abair team, and I'm sure in the next few weeks there will be some changes as we rebalance the value propositions of our mobile products.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Tom.
Our next question comes from the line of Jean-Charles Lamarre. Please go ahead, noting your company name and location.
Yes, Jean-Charles Lamarre from JP Morgan London. Just a quick question, first of all, on the fixed business. You mentioned the effect, I guess, of the mobile price war on fixed and mobile traffic. Just can you comment on the normal seasonality you'd expect in the mobile business year over year? The decline is down to over 8% or 9%, but you're mentioning a lower decline sequentially. What would have been normal seasonality from 1Q to 2Q on revenues and fixed voice? And also, what's the seasonality you should expect on margins? Last year, there was quite a variation, volatility in your EBITDA margin fixed side, so just understand that. And then on the mobile business, if you could give us again some detail on the unlimited offer, the exact ARPU you get to, because I guess you get unique and add the incoming revenues and SMS and so on and so forth to the 65 lira. Exactly, again, usage levels, usage split, if you can give us some indications of that. You seem to have had a very big increase in internet revenue, internet costs, but if you can give us an updated information on this. And then do you book also connection revenues in relation to this unlimited offer, and what kind of subscriber provision costs do you incur?
Well, Jean-Charles, that was, I think you beat the three of Tom, four. So I presume the next question will have five.
Right.
Okay, we deal, first with your fixed, on the traffic seasonality. There is no great seasonality between Q1 and Q2. In fact, if you look at last year and this year, we're 8% down, effectively in Q1 compared to last year, and also in Q2 compared to last year. So the way we've gone this year is similar to what happened last year, and what we saw last year is when it drops down in the second half. In terms of EBITDA margin on the fixed line, I think if you recall from last year when we saw the variability quarter on quarter, a lot of that was around one-off. Remember, the getting rid of the people took a big cost hit. So tends not to be a big seasonality. The one thing we tend to have is maybe Q1, since that EBITDA, because we're sometimes a bit slow on taking up our maintenance expenditure. But other than that, not really much. So we shouldn't expect a seasonality issue for the second half. It'll be around whether the business can maintain the margin.
Just on that, on employee count, you had an increase in headcount, I guess, in the first half. Would you expect that to be offset in the second half with some reduction, or?
Well, I think what we've said clearly on the fixed line is that the network operating unit, which is where we're actually doing most of the fixed line business, but then we also have the call centre business, which we insource. And of course, as we grow our call centre business, that's very labour intensive. I mean, they're quite cheap labour compared to the normal, but it is a very labour intensive business. So you have 22% of your revenue being cost. And so, obviously, that brings up the inquiry number, and you know that at the end of last year, when the Turkish Airlines contract, and that's what's driven a lot of the headcount growth in Q1 and Q2 for us. On the network operating unit, it's more or less flat since the beginning of the year. What we've always said is we won't go forward in terms of what will happen on personnel numbers, for very good reasons. What we've always said, though, for this year and for the next few years, on network operating units, we will work on productivity gains, but we're not envisaging anything like the productivity gains seen in the last few years. We said very clearly last year that 2008 was the final year of big reductions. From 2009 onwards, it's around managing productivity gains. So clearly a lot lower level of reductions in staff is at all. In terms of mobile, again, we've consistently said we won't declare too much about individual offers. It's not the right thing. We've got to look at mobile as a totality. For example, what wins on one offer, for example, an unlimited offer, is a way of attracting people into other offers. It also takes away double SIM, and therefore we may even lose another of their SIM to move on to an unlimited offer. So it has various impacts, of which in terms of the unlimited offer, the biggest impact is moving the whole market dynamic towards all directional. And one of the impacts of that is that when the other operators also start to go the same route, which is the obvious route to go, but don't forget this is a business that made all its profit from off-net, which when you have high off-net prices, low on-net, you only have 10% of your traffic off-net, that's where you were. If you move all directional, you can make a lot more money from incoming traffic. So what everybody will now be focusing on is the incoming traffic. And of course, incoming traffic goes to all elements across the range of offers. So in fact, our prepaid ARPU growth in Q2 is purely from incoming traffic. Now, if you look at the connectivity, yes, connectivity, we get the revenue, we get the costs. Clearly it came down to the rates, but for us, our interconnection costs went up because the unlimited offer generates a lot of traffic and, as you quite rightly say, a lot of ARPU. The ARPU growth of the blended range was driven purely by this one offer, which is so high in ARPU compared to all our other offers. Obviously, enjoy the offer. What we've got to do is make sure it's well balanced and start to generate EBITDA as well.
All right. So where is it? Maybe, I mean, in terms of EBITDA, I guess in the second quarter, particularly, it was very backloaded. You front-loaded the cost. You didn't get much in terms of revenue benefit. But in terms of gross margin on a moving basis, how does it compare with your other offers, the rest of the business?
Well, I think what I would say is, I mean, as you quite rightly say, when you launch a new offer, you've got a lot of back up front, which is your point, quite rightly. And then you've got to get customers picking up the value-added services that are around it, which comes later. But an offer like this is not everybody creates the same margin. An offer like this, every individual generates a different margin. So across the whole range, some people will make no margin through. Some people make high margin. So it's a balance across. What we've got to do is look at that offer, and Erkan's looking at it, and rebalance the value proposition to make sure what we're giving the customers is balanced by the value we're extracting from the customer. And it's trying to get that balance for the majority of customers.
So you're suggesting potentially changing this offer if we move forward?
Well, I said before, I mean, we're looking at all offers, both prepaid and postpaid. We're looking at the whole range. There's been a price war, a price battle, or a series of price battles in mobile. Things have got below their true value or their fair value, and we've got to look at all the products and find out how we can bring them all back to fair value. So it's looking across all, both prepaid and postpaid, and all offers. And I'm sure Turtle is doing exactly the same thing. And as Paul mentioned, they've looked at an institutional offer that was raised, launched recently, and what they've done is they've frozen the existing offer at 35, and for all new customers, they've opened it up at 45 lira. So they've started to rebalance that. And so that shows that there is in the market already signs of rationalization coming into the pricing.
Very good. Just another very, very quickly, just the last two things. Did you recognize a connection, sign up fees for the 55 euro offer? And did you recognize those? I mean, I think isn't there a 60 lira sign up fee?
There's a fee for people when they're in a fair changing between offers, but not to M&T. The majority of these fees, remember, come to M&T. Acquisitions, it's a normal acquisition, so it's no different to normal.
Okay. And what's, so the majority you're saying are coming from other operators as well. You know, what's the percentage of the 55-year offer that's coming from your own base, your own postpaid base?
Very little. I mean, clearly there were some early on, but since then, what we would say is there's very few coming through now. We would expect some customers to move up, but very, very few. But again, remember, this is an offer that's probably the premium offer in the market. Unlimited, it's the best offer in the market, and therefore it's going to attract what one would call, say, are the best customers, the people with the most money, and those are not the customers that Adair have. They were the customers that Turkcell and Vodafone have, and therefore that's why it was a low cannibalisation risk for us. And that's in fact exactly what we're seeing.
We can say it's around 15% or so now cumulative, probably. That could give you a rough figure.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Our next question comes from the line of Dalibor Vavruska. Please go ahead, announcing your company name and location.
Oh, good afternoon. This is Dalibor Vavruska from ING. Just two questions, if I may have. Some of these things might have been already addressed or touched in the previous questions. In terms of your mobile margin, can we maybe go to some of the cost categories and look how the price wars and how the market development impacted the different cost categories, and whether or not there were any one-offs or front-loaded costs in the second quarter? For example, I'm looking at the on the consolidated level on the other operating. On the mobile business cost on the other costs, which is up quite significantly in addition to interconnect. So if you can just say which of these cost categories were affected and how do you expect this improvement to play out? I mean, I suppose you wouldn't tell how this whole thing can end, but perhaps whether you can address the issue, whether you expect the margins of AVEA to be brought permanently down compared to levels where they were last year, or whether you can envisage sort of return to the sort of 20 type of level next year under any kind of scenario. And the second question is really on the broadband market. Again, you know, we discussed the DSL, but I'm just wondering if you can say, are you taking any initiatives now to boost the DSL subscriber growth? Do you think that there could be a pause of a couple of months or quarters when the market will stop growing because of PC penetration, or you think that this is rather a short-term issue with the of those couple of months, and would you still be optimistic about the broadband growth opportunity in terms of subscribers? Thank you.
Well, I mean, in relation to the broadband, I'll take the second question first. PC penetration is actually still going up. There are a lot of very good offers now. We are doing deals with the banks. We have deals with Guarantee. We have deals with Upline, very aggressive. Now we're starting a new deal with Migros. We are working with a lot of outlets to promote PC sales. Also, we have ourselves been selling PCs directly to our own shops. And the response has been pretty good. I mean, we are generally doing a 24-month payment, because in the market you can buy 10 to 12 months. So we basically bundle it into our bills, but we don't report it as revenue. So we generally report our revenues clean. And in that respect, the PC issue, I think, seems to be reasonably okay, especially with Netflix now coming to the market. So we hope by the beginning of the school year, we will begin to see some of our competitors actually gaining an advantage. As you know, they have actually positive discrimination in their favor. So they should be able to use that to grow the market. So we would rather they spend the money to get the customer and enjoy the benefit of that ownership. If we were to grow the market further, then we think in the longer term it's going to hurt us. So we have to hold back. And as we're holding back, luckily for us, the tax came down, so we're able to utilize that. Now the speed went up. Now we'll have new services with web television, internet television, IPTV, so we'll have a lot of new services to complement what we already have, which is the music and the portal and the Wi-Fi and so on. So we believe that that is sufficient for us to sustain our position a little bit longer. However, if we see by the end of this year that the market really is not moving, but the other guys are not moving, then obviously we will be giving you guidance towards the end of this year for next year what we intend to do to in fact further grow the market. I would just add one last item here, is that we will be launching something like a social tariff for broadband, which should be helping penetration in the lower income groups. We'll be starting this in the smaller towns, and we're filing to the regulator for approval for this one. And we will be compelling TPNF to sell that offer, because we think that the other ISPs will not be interested, because their margins will be rather low. And obviously, for us, we hope that this will be one of the tools we could use to push the market. The last thing I would say on pushing the market for safety is, as you know, in a lot of homes, the internet is perceived to be something that is difficult to control, because you have young kids who are smart, and the parents don't know how to outsmart them with all this new technology. So we are investing in Vitamin, our education software, and by the end of September, we will have our full school curriculum ready. As you know, last year we only launched up to age 14, and we are donating 10% of our wholesale revenues to the school. By that time, we have 580,000 teachers who will receive this free in their homes, in addition to the 33,000 schools that we already have. So we hope that through this, we will be able to push safe internet, because then people need to use it in their homes. And we're also promoting some programs around education with private schools as well. So we feel that that's the way we will be able to push penetration. And as you know, we offer Vitamin to all the ISPs, not only to TPNF. On the mobile side, the cook.
So in terms of mobile margin OPEX, I think the key point here is that the key costs, as I said earlier, were around interconnect and taxes. that if you look at the other, if you look at Q1, Q2, that's more or less the same. It's 135 million in Q1, 141 in Q2, so actually grew less than revenue. So our main focus in the cost and therefore the EBITDA margin is around interconnect and taxes. Obviously, taxes go up with revenue because most of it's around treasury share. And the interconnect, a lot of that is around the big offer, the unlimited offer. As to where we could go, I think the answer is, I can imagine a fantastic situation next year if you really want me to use my imagination. I think it's around where the market will go and how we can sort out the pricing. There's no doubt if we could have Turkcell up in 40% EBITDA at the end of 07, if we could have there up at 23%, 24% EBITDA towards the end of last year, and if we go back long enough, Vodafone probably had good margins as well. The market and people haven't really changed. It's really the mobile operators that changed the market, because what happened is it all changed before recession hit. So this is no recession-led problem in the market. This is a mobile operator-led. This is our own self-destruction switch, button we've all pressed. And what we've now got to do is take the finger off that button and recompile the value into the offers. And that's what we've all got to do. And if you look around the prepaid, there's too many 3 minutes. And 3 minutes is no good. No sale. Free sale is no sale. So we've got to take those minutes off the table slowly but surely and start to bring back proper minutes at good value. That's what the customers really want, and that's what we've got to do, and that's exactly what we'll be doing. As I said, you see already good signs that Turkcell are doing the same. I can't say we're doing the same for Vodafone, but to be honest, that's not important. What's important is that Turkcell are taking the right actions, because between us and Turkcell, that is the majority of the market, and that is the market that counts. So that's the way I see it going, and it's going to depend how rapidly that happens as to how quickly the margins can come back. But that's going to be the driver.
Okay, can I ask just two very quick follow-up? These other mobile costs, which went from 216 to 276, can I just roughly ask what does it contain?
Well, it's going to have in there the G&A, the utilities, and all those other extra costs that we see elsewhere. But if you look, I mean, you're right to say if you look at first half 08 on there, first half 09 goes up. But if you actually look underneath it, Q1 09, Q2 09, as I say, you'll see it's actually 135 to 141. So it's actually fairly flat. So this is more around what happened last year, inflation, utility bills went up significantly. We've been building in the Avaya business G&A structure. So that's really what's been happening in the OPEX.
And also, there was obviously some disruption caused by the Turkcell's problem with the ports. And was there any additional cost that maybe you incurred in the second quarter when you had to deal with that issue?
That's a very good question, Robert. Not materials, because as you remember, what we did is we rerouted a lot of that traffic via to telecoms. But the advantage is, not to just telecom, but certainly mobile operators, they only pay around 1.7 to 2.7 crush per minute. So it's not like rerouting through a mobile operator where you pay almost 7 crush. So the good thing is, because the fixed term rate is so low, it didn't generate a huge cost, extra cost to them. The cost to us as a company and the cost to our mobile operation was about it stalled the big growth. We had 300,000 in 3 weeks, and then it stopped. That was the big problem. It curtailed that growth in its early days. And that's the real loss to the business, is that quick win we could have had. And then, of course, what it did is gave everybody else a chance to come in the market and invent other offers.
And one very, very last thing. Would you, obviously you are the main sort of leading disruptive mobile player in the market, so when you're talking about situation calming down, it would to a large extent depend on your decisions to on your future strategy. Would you consider this disruptive play as a success if Turkcell did not lose does not lose any revenue market share?
I think what we would say is, I think your definition of leading disruptor, I presume what you mean is we've got the best disruptive product in the market.
Exactly.
And it's the market that actually was a positive disruption because it changed the market dynamic rather than just destroyed profit, which is a more important issue.
Yeah.
I think our question of whether it's good or not is whether market dynamic changes and whether market goes all directional and starts to learn from other markets and starts to make profit from incoming traffic and selling traffic to each other. We're seeing signs of that's what's happening. We're not looking at market share from Turkcell. What we're looking for is to gain a market share advantage compared to Vodafone. So that's the critical one. As to how successful it is, we'll see in the next 2 weeks when Vodafone reports their revenues as to whether we've got ourselves a reasonable gap at this stage, and then we'll see in September whether we've extended that to an even more reasonable gap. And then it's about stabilising the market within that and making it, there's no point being number two of market that's not making money. It's got to be, it's important to be number two in a healthy market. And what we've got to do now is make sure it's a healthy mobile market.
You see, in a multi-SIM environment, obviously the second SIM is a Turkcell SIM. So once Turkcell stops counting customer numbers and focus on their revenue and margin, that requires them to rebalance their tariffs because they used to have very high upnet prices, almost punishing a person for calling somebody else and compelling them to have a second Turkcell SIM to make calls and receive calls from Turkcell on that SIM. So as the market dynamic has now changed, Turkcell actually is the market leader in mobile. We need them to be a leader that has mid-40s EBITDA margin for us to make our margin. So we need them to be successful. The question is, how do they make that 45% EBITDA margin? If they make it using their same old ways of very low unnet and high upnet and multi-SIM, that actually is a practice which is anti-competitive and will never allow a second winner in the market. So what the move we have made, we believe, is going to enable us to be a winner as a number two, and Turkcell is still going to grow revenue and still going to grow their margin. In fact, we're counting on them getting back to their mid-40s for us to get into the mid-30s. So that's the formula. These are the two choices, and we've taken that choice.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Yavuz Uzay. Please go ahead, announcing your company name and location.
Hi, this is Yavuz Uzay from Goldman Sachs, London. I have actually, two of my questions have been answered, so I just want to ask you some more long-term oriented questions. According to your own business models, for the mobile business to be generating substantially higher return on invested capital compared to the cost of capital, what would be the optimal size in terms of, let's say, total number of subscribers or EBITDA margin according to your own business model? And how much incremental capex from today would you need to actually get there in terms of physical size?
As you know, we cannot give guidance beyond the reasonable term, which usually is, the year we're in. At the end of that year, we will be giving you guidance for the end of next year, I hope in our next call. But perhaps if you want, in order to answer, you think, you didn't get an answer and you felt you got answers to your other questions, I'll put it to you like this. The highest value we get as a consolidated group comes from our wireless subsidiary, profitable growth. That's the highest single value going forward. If you want to take it as a percentage, that means it's going to be something, more than a third, right? So that will be the largest single contributor. Then will come the ADSL business, both as a retail and as a wholesaler, as a wholesale provider. And of course, lastly would be our normal fixed voice business, which will be then complemented by other forms of voice, which will be generally internet-based voice, like IP, Wi-Fi, carriage over mobile phones, voice, and other formulations. So the market is going to move in that direction. The reason mobile is so critical for us is, one, of course, is the natural growth that it brings with it. Secondly, customers are obviously going to be using their devices, and their favorite device is a mobile device. But remember, we are a converged operator, so we're looking at a mobile device, whether it's 3G or a Wi-Fi, we're looking at a computer, or a netbook, or a notebook, or a PDA, we're looking at a television set, so we're looking at a video phone. All these devices are able to interact with both voice, video, full interaction, so that's what we're investing in. But the mobile part is the most important part, which provides the growth of the story. So that's our story, basically, but it has to be profitable. And for it to be profitable going forward, you will see a strong footprint, and we will be a strong second player. And I don't know who will own Vodafone or themselves, but that would be a pretty lousy story. So that's basically where we are.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Isvan Mastosh. Please go ahead, announcing your company name and location.
Very good evening, gentlemen. This is Isvan from Credit Suisse. Looking at your wireline business, which you yourself called the revenue growth will be challenging, it looks to me that your line losses may have accelerated a little bit year on year, and your DSL growth has been flat. What is your feeling about the ongoing line losses in your PSTN business? Do you think that the recent retention initiatives will be sufficient, or do you think that we could see an accelerating line loss in that business going forward?
I think in terms of fixed line losses, we said last year, especially in the IPO, that line losses was a concern for us and we'd be looking at it. And our approach to that was bundling it, fixed voice minutes into the rental fee, which we did at the end of last year, beginning of this year. What we didn't anticipate then was the recession that was going to hit the whole world, and as far as we're concerned, more importantly, Turkey. And there's no doubt that's having a big impact on the overall market. But also, the other key factor is that there was always mobile substitution, but when you've got a series of price battles going on in mobile, it's accelerates the mobile substitution because everybody's trying to act how cheap mobile is. That's the big talk in the market. When you get that, then your mobile substitution increases. So one of the other benefits to us of when we're talking about rationalizing mobile pricing is it starts to take the pressure off the mobile substitution. So that's another benefit to us of Avaya with Turkcell starting to moderate pricing and the value proposition in mobile. Obviously what we've got to do is look at enhancing further our fixed voice proposition, and we have, as Paul said earlier, on the Y phone, we're looking at that to enhance the fixed line proposition and make it feel a lot more mobile as a concept. So it's not a fixed line, it's a bit more mobile than just a pure fixed line going forward. In terms of ADSL, there's no doubt recession hurt. Unemployment everywhere is at the highest, it's a record in certain cities, no exception to that. The problem with ADSL is if you're not an ADSL customer, why take on the service? Why take on the internet? If you haven't experienced internet, what's the point, what's the value of it? Why do it? Why take the expense? Why take a 2-year commitment to get the good prices? Recession's not the right time to make those decisions. What will probably happen is when the recession ends, and all expectations is for Turkey should end towards Q4 of this year, then people can start to take more long-term decisions, but what we need is people to start being employed again and start to create more positive environment in the country. And that will help, there's no doubt, the ADSL sector. Because we should never forget that for Turkey, internet is new. It's not like the people in Geneva or London where it's been around for years and years and you feel like your whole life it's been there. In Turkey, that's not the situation. It's still a new phenomena. So when you get a recession, it hurts. It hurts the people taking it up. And that's what we've just got to get ourselves through. There's no point panicking, as Paul said. Our strategy was increase ARPU, get the most value out of the customers who are there, enhance that value. We will stick to that. Paul said, what we're looking at is a cheap package. We could call it a social tariff, but basically it's a cheap package that can then offer a new alternative. But to be honest, if there's unemployment and high recession, people are going to be still concerned about it.
Okay, thank you very much. That's very helpful.
Unfortunately, we have run out of our time. Maybe we can take one final question.
We do have a question lined up from the line of Atinj Oskan. Please go ahead and announcing your company name and location.
Good afternoon, this is Atinj from Credit Suisse, Istanbul. A couple of follow-up questions on your mobile business, actually. First of all, could you please reconfirm that your porting problem with Turkcell has effectively ended in second quarter? If yes, when? And also, how many subscribers have taken up after now the 6 Patria unlimited offer as of yourself? Is there any specific subscriber number target that you are planning where you would seize this offer? And also, could correct me if I'm wrong, but have you just mentioned that you may consider to restructure the 6 Patria offer given the low margins on your mobile business in second quarter? Thank you.
Okay, I think what we say is, yes, as Erkan said earlier, the porting problems with Spectrum are finished.
End of May.
End of May in Q2, and we noted that. We started getting all the ports through then. In terms of the unlimited subscribers, what we can say is there was quite a lot. There was over 500,000 at the end of Q2, near 700,000 with the number. Did we have a target? Well, we've always said our target was 1 million. But, you know, if we don't get 1 million, it's not the end of the world. If we reorganize the package and we make it better value for us, then that's not a problem. But our target we've said is 1 million. What we did say, or what I said earlier, was what we're looking at is all our mobile offers. Because the whole problem of mobile software is in prepaid. The unlimited offer is not in prepaid area. So there's no point just looking at unlimited and value and rebalancing value there. We've got to look at the prepaid and rebalance the value in all our prepaid offers as well. So it's looking across all our offers, and as I said, I'm sure Turkcell is doing exactly the same at this very moment. And because we all need to get the value right and get those EBITDA margins going back up again.
Okay, thank you very much, and maybe a follow-up on your ADSL. Would you agree that the imminent launch of 3G and followed by mobile broadband is currently holding off the or having an impact on the slowdown on residential ADSL growth?
Actually, 3G, perhaps, you know, unsurprisingly, 3G is the best complement to ADSL. You know, ADSL is a technology that works very well over an existing cable. So you have an existing copper plant which has been there, and then the competition model around it is designed around an unbundle where you are fixing a device in the home, which is a modem and this plan in the switch. And this is limited by the length of that copper loop. And of course, there are ways to improve this, and there's fiber to the cabinet when you must. But in the end, you know, cable infrastructure is a very inflexible method of reaching a customer. By the time you have laid it and done it, you can't really move it. So wireless is a better mode of providing connectivity in lower density areas, and clearly cable is very, very cost efficient in high density areas, where wireless will have spectrum problems, and that's the balance between the two. So as you begin to get out of the towns, you know, smaller towns, obviously for us, there could be businesses there that want service, and it's very, very expensive for us provided by cable. So 3G provides for us a very good way of reaching customers that today it is actually not, you know, cost effective to reach. Secondly, our existing customers, of course, using ADSL in their home office, now we have Wi-Fi hotspots, so they would be able to buy an Avaya dongle or all ISPs as well to be able to access the internet wherever they are. And that is an important feature that complements ADSL in the home, office, and hotspot, and therefore mobility is the fourth dimension of that offer. So these are very, very complementary. And since we are so strong in this area, and we have sold, you know, 400,000 upsells of 8 meg in the last 8 weeks, that actually shows you these are all committed customers that are paying us more money to get higher speeds. These are the best possible candidates, for example, to be able to upgrade into the mobile wholesale offer from Avaya, as we are offering it to all the ISPs. And I think if you look at 3G investment going forward, we are now seriously considering that 3G being a complementary service that even TT would be wholesaling as a wholesaler, say, to TTNet and the other ISPs as well. Because there could be areas where we would have to cover, but maybe they are not as commercial as you would like them to be. So we even willing to buy that capacity for underserviced areas and utilize money from the USF and even share infrastructure with Turkcell and Vodafone. So in the end, 3G is just that. And the most important part of 3G, of course, is that the 3G concession agreement allows for network sharing, radio access network sharing. And this is a very important feature of this concession, and we hope that we will be able to find a way of saving money for ourselves and the other two operators, because in the end, frankly, nobody is really going to make money from that investment. I think we have the best hope of losing least, I think. Then comes Turkcell and Vodafone. In any case, there's no need to mention them. So in the end, I think, you know, 3G, if anything, is going to provide a very good opportunity for us all to share network and provide services in a complementary way. That's how we see it.
Thanks so much for the comprehensive answer. Thank you.
Thanks everyone for attending the call. Moderator, now we can finish the call.
Thank you all very much. We'll see you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.